This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to think that everyone in this locker room is here for a reason, and you know, one of those reasons is the fact that we're extremely competitive.
Now, it's time to go under the helmet with Green Bay left tackle David Bakhtiari.
Coming to work every day, and don't change. Don't get too high, don't get too low, whether you're winning or you're losing. Just keep chopping wood. You know, I've always kind of liked the philosophy, keep chopping wood, eventually the tree's going
to
fall.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Be sure to favorite us to get breaking news from the fan.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show, and there is the Packers left tackle on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. David Bakhtiari joins the Wendy's Big Show. David, how are you this afternoon, man?
Good. Very good.
That's good to hear. Did you think Aaron Rodgers was coming back in that game on Sunday, or were you guys pretty much resigned to the fate that you were without your quarterback for at least the remainder of that game?
I didn't really know what happened. So I didn't think it was going to be too serious. I didn't even know he got carted off. Like I said, like I had no idea anything was serious until the next series went out there and I saw Kaiser jogging out. I was like, oh, I guess Aaron's back in the locker. That's not too good.
So you didn't even know when Kaiser came in the game that Rodgers was hurt and that you guys needed to go to your backup until he was on the field with you?
I knew when we started jogging out and I saw Kaiser jog out with us. I was like, oh, okay. Because, I mean, the sideline's pretty big. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
I got, you know, I'm worried about my job, my responsibility, what I have to do. There's a lot of space for other things to be happening. So I honestly didn't know. But when he came out at halftime and I heard the crowd start, you know, getting loud and saw him do a jog, I'm like, yeah, he's back.
Hey, man, I saw some social media when that game was going on, and people were saying that they saw you on the sidelines talking to Kaiser a little bit later after that on the sidelines, and people were saying clearly he's taking the leadership role with Aaron out of there at this point. Is that something you feel like you kind of got to be that guy from a leadership perspective once 12's out of there?
You know, I think it was just doing my job. You know, I've been in a situation before where Aaron's out there on the field, and I know how Aaron likes to operate. He's amazing at doing what he does because he can multitask and put on so much on his plate and produce. So I know when, you know, last year when we had Brett and, you know, let's say, you know, when Kaiser came out for the series or two that we had with him, I just went up to him and kind of gave him my 2 cents and said, hey, if there's anything I can take off your plate, whether, you know, any play clock, any management, and a couple things of advice, you know, that's what I'm here for. I played a lot of ball.
You know what it felt like, David, when you guys came out then of the locker room second half, though, it looked like, well, obviously his knee was hurting him, but you changed what you were doing. And it seemed to, I mean, it just seemed like you were in a better rhythm of passing the football. Was there any reason why that rhythm didn't exist in the first half like it did in the second half?
I agree with you. I mean, we definitely kind of changed a couple things we did. And to be honest, for me, it just felt a lot of things weren't forced as much as they were in the first half. We kind of went to more rhythm, more timing, and let the big plays happen naturally. And, you know, through that, you know, I've always believed, you know, you got to win. Don't worry about winning the drive. Don't worry about winning the game. Worry about winning the down. Put yourself always in manageable situations. I think anyone loves to have a third and two or third and one. No one likes to be third and long. So, you know, try to get yourself into second and manageable to then set yourself up for a third and short.
So we've been talking here a lot about, of course, Aaron Rodgers and that and the game that he had. Could you, and I don't know how to do this, this media radio talk, is this one of the best games that you've seen him play under the circumstances?
No, I think it's up there, but no, I've seen him play, you know, 2014 when he really couldn't move then.
And, with the calf.
I saw him. Yeah, with his calf, and we all knew the extent of that and the severity of the game, and I saw him play pretty darn well. And even in, I think it was the Cowboy game too. Even in that game, you know, he played some good ball too.
Yeah,
but definitely up there. I would say I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I want to get back to this kick step because
get back to the kick step.
This thing is just unbelievable how you can get back there, especially with a speed rusher, with a power rusher. I know it's through your film study, but I think that's remarkable. It's something that you playing left tackle, probably to be a lot of pressure on that position. But, man, you look in great shape and everything you want to do. 69 yards rushing, I know you're not okay with that. But can you throw the ball that much and get away with not running the ball that much? Or do you have to let the game dictate it a little bit?
I think I let the game dictate. I think always having a balanced offense. Having a balanced offense is a scary offense. You never want to be predictable. But, you know, we've always known, you know, we have the best player in the NFL. So, obviously, you want to put the ball in his hands and let him make magic happen.
Yeah, we were down there at about a tunnel. And I wanted to talk about the screen pass. It was third and 19, I think, and McCarthy said he would like to have that call back. He called a screen to Montgomery, and I don't even really want to break it down. But Khalil Mack just kind of sloughed off. You got some penetration in the middle, and Kizer got the pressure, just threw it right to Mack. He scored a touchdown. I've always talked about on the outside, you would like to cut those guys with screens, or what would be different on that particular play?
From after the game, what I've heard is, you know, I heard Kizer and Brian both say that Mack hadn't mentioned watch screen before the play.
Yep.
Had even happened. And, I mean, you watch this play, he bowls Brian and then shoves him and uses momentum to back off. So obviously he was anticipating it. And, you know, I think with what was happening in front of Kizer, you know, he dished it out real quick and didn't even see him and really threw it right to his chest.
Talking with David Bakhtiari here on the Wendy's Big Show. My thing is about Khalil Mack. Obviously, you guys didn't know how they were going to use Khalil Mack necessarily, how much they'd move him around or how that whole thing would play out. How do you think Brian Bulaga did and the rest of the offensive line did with dealing with him?
You know, I've said this in many interviews, and I'm going to continue to say it. This is non-biased. This is just real. Brian's coming off, you know, he's coming off an ACL of 10 months being asked to play against that caliber of a player. And everyone wants to talk about the statue that Khalil Mack lit up. But if you actually look at those plays and see how he got those effective plays, there was one big sack that he was around when when Aaron got hurt that, you know, he's 10 yards deep. Okay. You know, you're running your guy around the horn 10 yards deep. I don't think anyone else can ask an offensive tackle to do much more than that. The interception, I mean, that's not on Brian. We don't have eyes in the back of our head. And then the sack, the strip sack, I mean, it's a lot of good things went his way for him just to literally run right into Khalil Mack's rushing. Because in the beginning, he kind of stood the line of scrimmage. So above all that, I know Brian said there's a couple plays he'd like to have back, and I saw a couple plays where, you know, Mack did what Mack does. But all in all, I mean, that is an unbelievable performance for a man who hasn't played football since, what, I don't know, October, November of last year, and to come back from an ACL and play that game. I mean, my hat's off to him. I don't know if I can play a game like that.
Hey, man, is he the best pass rusher in the league right now, or is there somebody better?
You know, I don't know. I give him credit. He definitely is really good at what he does. But I didn't get a – you know, I can only see so much on film, but I didn't get a chance to face him, so I can't really tell you.
Last week, and we're talking with David Bakhtiari here on the Wendy's Big Show. Packers left tackle joins us every Tuesday at 4:35. In the lead-up to this game, in a conference call with the Wisconsin media, Akeem Hicks, the Bears defensive lineman, said that your five guys on the offensive line couldn't cover or couldn't block Khalil Mack. Did that get back to you guys, and are you a group who utilizes bulletin board material like that, or is it just business as usual and go out and block the guy in front of you?
You know, guys want attention, and the guys want to – it's a rivalry. They want to make it a little more, you know, stir the pot a little bit. Did we hear about it? Yeah, because it was not. It was continuously talked about in the media asked us a bunch of questions the entire week. And you got to go about your daily business. As a, you know, we took it like, okay, that's what he wants to say. That's fine, and we're gonna do what we did. And I thought Brian did great. I mean, it's not like we, you know, adjusted the protection. We knew he's a threat, and we're gonna go with if we need help moving forward. If Brian needs help, but Brian was pretty good, so we kind of left him to do his thing the entire game.
Moving forward here, Minnesota Vikings coming up, and it really doesn't get any easier. That's another probably top five defense. Is it more of the same for them, or are you guys looking for a redemption maybe? Anthony Barr, the hit he put on Aaron Rodgers. What's your thoughts there with the Vikings?
Good team. We got them at home. Want to be 2-0. And, you know, I think it's going to be a slugfest. And we got to make sure we come out hot from the get-go, not come out from the second half. So, you know, work on what we did last week. But, you know, this is going to be a good game.
Is it one of the better defenses that you got? I mean, is it on – were the Chicago Bears on par with that defense with the Vikings have?
I think the Vikings are extremely good defense through and through. You look at their personnel. You look at the way they operate their defense. You know, they're very good with scheming you up and how they can disguise and bring blitzes. And they're also very good with, hey, you know what? We think we got guys on our defensive side of the ball. We're going to rush four. We're going to play man press. And we're just going to say, hey, mano y mano, come beat me. And that's a testament to them, but it's also a testament to us how we're able to combat that.
I'm just going to say this. You went to Colorado, right?
Yep.
If they had, like, a media class in Colorado, I'm assuming that you got an A on how to really just say nothing.
What do you mean? What do you want to say? I don't understand what y'all want to make a headline. Don't do it, David.
Did you take media classes at Colorado? Did they go through that stuff with you, or is that?
You're taking it now with the Packers.
I mean, I think maybe one. I don't know. I think I may have taken something media oriented back in college, but I mean, just got a lot of practice. I mean, this is. I've done quite a few interviews.
He has a whole season under his belt with us here.
I guess I'm trying to say thank you. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Yes, you're supposed to say thank you.
And get out of the interview. Yes. Thank y'all. Talk to y'all thank next you. Week.
Thank you. I'll talk to you next
no
week.
No Emerson Griffin questions or nothing. Let me go.
David, appreciate it, man. We'll talk again next week.
All right, thank you guys. Enjoy yourself.
Have a good one. And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.